This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by the Todd Herman Show, heard weekday mornings, 6 to 9 right here on KTTH. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
The will of the people was overturned by 9 Washington Supreme Court justices. All of them. The entire court. In what is one of the most partisan and corrupt rulings I've ever witnessed coming from this court. It takes remarkable hubris, a disturbing level of brazen politicking, to do what it is they did today in overturning Initiative 976. That, of course, is the $30 car tab initiative. The one that 53% of the state passed. Tim Iman, the initiative sponsor, had this to say earlier. He, of course, was the one who really owned this particular issue. And he had gone out of his way to make sure that you guys knew what was on the line. He gave up a lot in order to get this in front of people. He's going to be on the show at 5:30. Overturning the will of the people is being predictably celebrated by progressives. Progressives like Jenny Durkin, Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes, Lieutenant Governor candidate Marco Elias. They are celebrating this today. They think this is a great idea to overturn your will. The court said the initiative violated the one subject rule and that the initiative title, which was set by the Attorney General's office, was misleading. Got it. Bob Ferguson is a huge reason why 976 was overturned. His office's incompetence. Or maybe this was done by design. Because you can make a very good case pointing out very specific things that were done or maybe were not done that made this easier for this Supreme Court to overturn. And of course, he takes no responsibility. Bob Ferguson never takes responsibility. Maybe had he been more focused on Washingtonians instead of Donald Trump, this would have gone a different way. But in a statement that he put out after losing, Bob Ferguson blamed Tim Iman. Bob Ferguson took no responsibility at all. He said, Tim Iman will, of course, do what he has done throughout this case, blame everyone but himself. He will again blame my outstanding legal team. Outstanding legal teams don't lose. They're not outstanding. An outstanding legal team would have been able to convince this court to side with Washingtonians. Let's put this in perspective. When anti-gun 594 collected signatures, they blatantly violated procedures. They didn't include the full language of the initiative on the back of that form that people were signing, that petition. It had something like 16 or 17 different subjects on it. A Thurston County judge tossed it, saying that it was a clear violation. Yet it was the Supreme Court here in Washington State that overturned that judge. There are two sets of rules here in Washington State. One for progressives, one for conservatives. Conservatives, because we actually respect the law, we get punished for it. we get punished for it. The left, laws don't really apply to them. The rules of the system don't really apply to them. To make that point, all you have to do is look at the riots that have been allowed to continue. CHOP in Seattle allowed to establish today, just about an hour and a half ago, someone tried to set fire to a police vehicle while the officers were still inside. This was attempted murder. The left doesn't talk about this. They don't get mad at this. They don't send out press releases about this. What do? They see 53% of the state coming out and saying no to Sound Transit 3, saying yes to $30 car tab fees, and they activate. They get together and organized to overturn our will. Washington State does not have a Supreme Court. We have a Seattle Supreme Court. And if you're listening to me right now, anywhere other than Seattle, if you're listening right now in Marysville or Bothell or University Place or Olympia, if you're on Vashon Island, if you're listening on the podcast out in Spokane or Pasco or Vancouver or Bellingham, if you're listening to me in Sultan, Snohomish, Republic, here is the truth. You do not matter to this Supreme Court. You do not matter to this Attorney General and this Governor. You will never matter to them because you don't live in Seattle and you don't hold the positions they want you to hold. You will never matter to them, and you will always be ignored. And here's the harsh reality. We deserve it for not doing nearly enough to get up off our asses and start putting better people in office, because this could be fixed in Olympia. The state legislature could fix this. Steve O'Bann is a state senator. He's going to be on the show in about an hour from now. He is in trouble in University Place. He is a Republican state senator who right now, if the election were held, he's going to lose re-election against a Seattle-style progressive who is against the $30 car tabs. What are you doing to help Steve O'Bann? What are you doing? What are you doing to help in the 10th Legislative District, Bill Bruck, or Joel McIntyre in the 19th Legislative District? What are you doing? What about Jennifer Sevcik in 42, Mark James in 44? What are you doing to help these people who are running in this state that doesn't care about you? Because those are candidates who care. Matt Larkin cares about you. Dwayne Davidson, who is running as an incumbent to be treasurer again, he cares about you. Kim Wyman cares about you. Lauren Culp cares about you. What are you doing to help put them in office or keep them in office? What are you doing? Feel free to text and tell me, because I'd love to hear. 1-800-465-8770. I would love to hear that. Because right now, this decision should bring shame, not just to the Supreme Court, but this entire state and any of us who sit back and don't get activated to put better people in office. What are you doing? Send me a text at 1-800-465-8770. Coming up, Attorney General candidate Matt Larkin. Find me on Instagram under Jason Rantz, JSONRANTZ. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
As we've been saying, 976, the $30 car tab fee initiative that was passed by 53% of Washingtonians has been overturned in a rather egregious and seemingly just flatly, corruptly partisan way by the state Supreme Court. Part of the reason for this failure is a horrible job that was done in defending the initiative by Attorney General Bob Ferguson. One of the reasons why it was rejected, according to the Supreme Court, was that the title of the initiative was misleading, was unconstitutional. Well, the Attorney General's office, they were the ones who actually titled it. Joining me on the line is someone who hopes to unseat Bob Ferguson. Matt Larkin is the Republican running for Attorney General, and he joins me now. Matt Larkin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jason. Glad to be here, although I'm sorry it's on such negative news.
No kidding. Where did the Supreme Court err in their opinion?
Well, there's so many things to unpack here. First, can I just give my heartfelt condolences to Bob Ferguson? I feel like he's really going to be devastated by this loss.
Uh-huh.
he fought so valiantly to keep this bill alive. But the Supreme Court, it was a unanimous decision almost. One justice didn't sign on to the section of it that said it was a misleading ballot title. But I don't blame the Supreme Court as much as I blame the Attorney General. He was the one who wrote the ballot title. It's his office, and it falls on his office's duties to craft a ballot title that actually will meet constitutional muster. And the law specifically says that when he gets an initiative on his desk, it's up to him to sufficiently, and this is, I'm reading from the statute now, sufficiently to write a ballot title that's sufficiently precise to give notice of the measure's subject matter. And yet sufficiently broad to reflect the subject of the measure. And it has to be a true and impartial description of the measure's essential content, and without prejudice or against the prejudice for or against the measure. So it's very clear what his job was, and he failed in this instance. He did not do that. And frankly, that's the problem. We see a lot of people figured that he wouldn't do that because he's such a partisan attorney general. He has politicized the office, Jason, and that's why we've got to replace him in 3 weeks.
Is there anything in the actual language of the initiative that you think made it easier for the Supreme Court to overturn it?
We could pick it apart, I suppose. I mean, their big thing was the multiple subjects. I think this one had multiple subjects, but then again, so did I-1639. It had 17 subjects.
Yeah, anti-gun bill.
So it seems like they're playing politics again with this. You can rule one way when it's a conservative initiative and another way when it's a liberal initiative. So to boil it down, I think you just need to trust that your attorney general is doing a fair and impartial job for you as an initiative sponsor in this state. And nobody feels that way. There's two sets of rules. If you're fighting, and if you replaced Iman as the initiative sponsor with Sawant, that they would have found it constitutional. Yeah. I argue maybe they would have, because it's so partisan. And Attorney General Ferguson just fuels that partisan fire, because it didn't used to be that way. Do you remember anything like this under Attorney General McKenna or even under Attorney General Gregoire? No, there was a perception, at least, of impartiality, and that's what we need to get back to.
Matt Larkin is joining me on the line. He's running for Attorney General against Bob Ferguson. His website, mattlarkin4ag.com. It's all spelled out, F-O-R, mattlarkin4ag.com. Obviously, ballots are in hand for a lot of folks today, if not today, tomorrow. How much do you think this changes this upcoming election?
Well, good question. I think it certainly changes the narrative somewhat. People, it refocuses that attention on the fact that we have a partisan AG. But it also stings as a voter. This one hurts because it feels like the people's voice wasn't heard, and that the government thinks that they know better than the 53% of Washingtonians who passed this. So hopefully that fires up the folks who feel like they're trampled on, and hopefully they come out and vote in droves.
Well, how much of this is going to change your behavior out there? Just your ad campaigns, for example. Are you going to jump on this?
Sure. Yeah, we are. We sent out a press release. We're all over social media with things on this. And you know, we're sending emails and trying to talk about it as much as possible because it's an issue that should be a nonpartisan issue. So we're hoping it resonates with Democrats and Republicans because it obviously didn't just pass with Republican votes initially. 53% got on board with this. So yeah, we're hoping that by talking about it and calling attention to this issue and the failures of Bob Ferguson in this context, that it'll get people fired up and even that soft Democrat who said, you know, this doesn't feel right. We do need a new attorney general. We do need someone in there who's impartial. And I would be that guy. I would, whether this was a liberal initiative or a conservative initiative, Jason, I would give it a full faith defense. And you don't have that right now. So I hope this message that people are hearing doesn't just fall on deaf ears when it comes to Democrats, because this isn't a partisan issue. So I'm hoping that is what drives out votes, and I'm hoping that gets people voting for me for change.
I hope you're right. It's going to take a lot of effort on behalf of this audience. You guys need to step up. You need to help Matt Lark and his website. If you want to learn more about ways you can help, including donate some money to his campaign so perhaps we can get some ads out there quickly on this, mattlarkin4ag.com. And it's not just about donating money. It's about donating your time, making sure that you're calling your friends and your family members and your neighbors, and you're telling them about what's on the line. mattlarkin4ag.com. Matt, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jace, for having me.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Again, the website, mattlarkin4ag.com. And of course, it's not just about this particular race. You got to look at, for example, State Senator Steve O'Bann, who's going to be joining us in about an hour from now on the legislative side. He has been pushing very, very hard on this particular issue. And he right now is not in a position where it's going to be an easy reelection for him. He's running up against a well-financed progressive in the style of a Seattleite. That's not good for University Place. You've got Ron Muzzle over at Oak Harbor, who is also running as an incumbent, and he's in trouble. You guys need to step up. And there are some very easy ways for you to do it. Yes, you can give some money, and if you have it to donate, you should. But beyond that, you got to make sure that you're making phone calls. You're talking to people. You are active on social media. You're sending emails to your friends and family, especially to those who are hit especially hard with high card tab fees. Matt Larkin is the guy in the Attorney General's office who's going to be able to fix this kind of nonsense. But so too are so many of these others who are running either as first-time candidates or running as incumbents. We need to return power to the Republicans in Olympia. You're a big part of that. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in on this sort of stale Thursday afternoon. You look outside, although maybe that sun will start peeking out a little bit and shine some sunlight on this stale weather.
Sorry you're having a stale day.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. So, emails purportedly show that Joe Biden helped Hunter Biden get that high-paying gig over at Burisma, which Hunter Biden, of course, had no discernible skills that would have landed him this position, but he did have the last name Biden when another dude with the last name Biden was the vice president. The implication in this report from the New York Post is that not only did Joe Biden use his position as vice president to help out his son, but that Burisma would end up having access to the vice president for favors. Favors like, for example, using your power as vice president to get a prosecutor fired after that prosecutor investigated Burisma. Weird how that happens. Now, how much of what was in the report yesterday and any of the subsequent reports is true? I have no clue. I do not know. I don't know how much of the email is true. But I do know this. The situation is now damaging, not just to Biden, but to quote-unquote big tech. Because Twitter decided to silence a mainstream news organization. They chose to put out a report. Not an op-ed even, but a report. And Twitter and Facebook, they don't want you to see it. They are stopping you from sharing it. And the Biden campaign is lying about what's going on. It is so remarkable how poorly both big tech and the Biden campaign are treating this story. Now, the Biden campaign hopes the people out there are just dumb. That's what their strategy is. Hope that you guys are dumb. And you won't see through the lies they're putting out there. And this is a lie coming from Jamal Brown, campaign press secretary for Biden.
I think Twitter's response to the actual article itself makes clear that these purported allegations are false and they're not true. And glad to see social media companies like Twitter taking responsibility to limit misinformation.
That is a brazen lie. That is a brazen lie. That is not a mistake. That is a lie. It is despicable. It is cowardly. I'm fine with spin coming from press secretaries. That's what press secretaries do. That's not spin. That is a flat out lie. Twitter didn't take it down because it's a lie. Twitter took it down, they say, because it violated one of their policies in publishing hacked material, which apparently doesn't actually translate to the New York Times piece that used illegally leaked tax documents to go after the president. Apparently, it also doesn't extend to phone calls that were recorded with Melania Trump as First Lady without her knowledge, which you can find right now on Twitter. Apparently, it also doesn't extend to the rampant anti-Semitism that I see every single day on Twitter. The truth of the matter is, the reason why Twitter and Facebook decided to shut these stories down, they knew it would hurt Joe Biden. You see, there's a really easy way for Jamal Brown and the Biden team to respond. All they have to do is say literally everything in this story is untrue. That's all you have to do. The New York Post story is false. Everything about it. Why might they not want to do that? Why might they not want to come out and say everything in this report is false? What do you think?
Because it might not be false.
Because some of it might be true. Maybe all of it is true. Again, don't know. But I do know if every part of that story was true, probably would come out and say every part of this story is false. It's absolutely ludicrous. Now it's time to move on. They are not directly refuting the claims in the story. How curious is that? And the funny thing is, minus the prosecutor part, minus that, take that out for a moment, because everyone says he helped Hunter get a job. That's been the bulk of some of the complaints. I don't think that's a big deal. I don't. I really don't. I expect that a parent will help get their kid a job. You might not like it. Fine. But I kind of expect that. I don't think that part of this story is politically damaging. Lying about it, that's politically damaging. Probably. Abusing your power to help a foreign company, that's definitely politically damaging. But the whole Hunter Biden stuff, no, not to me. But he is at some point going to have to answer for all of these lies.
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
I have never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period. And what I will do is the same thing we did in our administration. There will be an absolute wall between personal and private and the government.
Do you stand by your statement that you did not discuss any of your son's overseas business
dealings?
Yes,
I stand by that.
Do you think it was wrong for him to take that position?
No.
Knowing that it was really because company wanted access to you.
Well, that's not true. You're saying things you do not know what you're talking about. No one said that. Who said that?
I mean, the email that I can't post on Twitter right now. What made this story what it is today, and it is a big deal, regardless of what CNN or MSNBC want you to believe, Twitter's decision to suppress it, Twitter's decision to shut down accounts for linking to it, including legitimately objective reporters who were just posting it as a part of a discussion, they decided to block you from posting it. This is election interference. Election interference is not just coming from foreign entities, right? We acknowledge, I do, that that happens. That's not all that happens. This could be politically damaging for Biden, and Twitter decided they are not going to allow you to post it. The president earlier called out Twitter and Facebook for their bias.
It's out of control. And it's like a third arm, maybe a first arm, of the DNC. Twitter and Facebook, it's a massive campaign contribution. This is a third arm of the DNC, the radical left movement.
He's got a lot of ammunition on his side here, doesn't he? These companies, for better or for worse, control the vast amount of content that is seen in this country. They decide what stories and topics trend, what shows up when you do a search on Google, how far a story can be shared when you post it on Facebook. And they're abusing their power while simultaneously saying they should get special protections, that they should not be held responsible for the content that is posted on their websites. If I use Twitter and I say someone abused his wife, I say some guy, a politician, abused his wife, that politician can sue me if it's false. He cannot sue Twitter because of Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. It says online platforms are not responsible legally for what their users post. Because, of course, it would be impossible to screen billions and billions and billions of messages every single day. That's important. I think that internet companies should have that protection, except if they're going to start censoring some content and not others. At that point, they become a publishing platform. Because if I were to post something in an article over at foxnews.com, where I've got a editorial coming out again this week, I could be sued as well as Fox News. They can both be sued, because they are, in that role, a publisher. They decided to become a publisher when they decided to censor some of this content. New York Post puts out another story today. And yet again, Twitter refuses to allow us to post it. Fine. Then you lose your Section 230 privileges. Because a whole bunch of Republican senators today say, you know what, now we are going to act. We're not just going to talk about it, now we're going to act. Okay. Live with the consequences, Twitter. It's your service on the line. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. When we come back, Mike Solon is going to join us live. He is the Seattle Police Officers Guild president. After this breaking news that around 1:30 this afternoon, a man tried to assassinate two Seattle police officers by setting their patrol car on fire while they were in it. We're going to get into that and so much more. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho live on this Thursday afternoon. The Seattle Police Department says it has arrested a person suspected of trying to kill a police officer by setting that police officer's patrol car on fire while the cop was inside. Joining me on the line with his reaction is Seattle Police Officer Guild President Mike Solon. Welcome back to the show.
Jason, thank you for having me on.
What can you tell us about the incident from today?
Well, number one, I'm concerned about the officers, particularly the officer that's in the hospital right now. And what it shows is that today's political climate with people that are bent on killing police officers is real. And it's an assault on our community because police officers are a part of our community. We're human beings and we're dedicated to serve everybody across this city, this state, and across our nation to uphold the Constitution. And nobody in their right mind should think it's okay to assault a member of the community to kill them.
Yeah.
And enough of this violence against police. And I hope that our elected officials start publicly condemning the actions against police officers, the criminal actions, to help put a stop to this nonsense. We have to have our leadership stand up and support police, even if it's politically difficult for them, because the right thing to do is to show support for police to stop this nonsense.
In this case, it happened earlier today, about 1:30 in South Lake Union, where a man who had a flaming piece of lumber threw it inside of this patrol vehicle and ran. Now, in this case, the officer, as you mentioned, is seeking some treatment in the hospital. The officer is expected to be okay, not dealing with any life-threatening injuries, thankfully. But just a quick look at the photo of the torched vehicle, this could very easily have gone a different way. The good news is that officers did, in fact, arrest the suspect in this. He was pursued into a parking garage where a taser was used to subdue the man, and then he was placed under arrest. We do believe that one of the officers involved in the chase ended up using their weapon but did not strike the individual. How surprised are you when things like this happen, given this is obviously not the first time that police officers have been subject to this kind of threat?
Well, I'm not surprised, because what we're seeing is people go out of their way to kill police officers in today's political climate. And what I see from this is that you still have police officers, human beings, that show up to do the job despite the unreasonable political constraints put on the beautiful profession of law enforcement. The reality is these officers got a call of somebody walking around with a piece of wood engulfed in flames. And obviously a community member had significant issue with that. And who answered the call for help? A police officer did. And they showed up. And then now this criminal actor, don't know the history there, I'm not sure what the, you know, whether or not they had mental issues, what's going on, or if they, this was politically motivated to assassinate a cop. I'm sure that will be learned in the coming hours and days post-incident here. But besides that, the takeaway here is that cops showed up still protecting this community, despite this political backlash from anarchists, activists that are bent on killing cops. But yet we still show up. We answer that call for help.
You do.
And it's about time. It's about time our leaders stood up to help cops.
It is about time. It's been about that time for a very long time at this point. We only have about a minute left. I'm getting numbers in that suggest a lot of officers actually are not showing up anymore, that they have decided to either quit to go to a different agency or quit altogether. What do you know of the staffing level in the minute that we have left?
Yeah, I know that the staffing situation is serious. And you can't blame people for wanting to find employment elsewhere because they don't feel they have the leadership in a city that doesn't support them. Having said that, we still have to advocate for the members that are still here working hard for this city because they're hoping that there is change at City Hall, that at least adults show up and start calming a lot of this rhetoric down to support its community versus trying to tear down the great human beings that do the job of policing. And most of this, what's occurring with policing, is based upon a false narrative.
Yeah. Are the numbers as bad as I think they are?
Yeah, I've said it to you many times. I'll debate anybody and listen and learn. But we all got to come together instead of more divisiveness. And if this doesn't get changed quick, you're going to see more cops fleeing for other jurisdictions that where they actually support the police.
Yeah. Mike Solon is the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for all you do to support cops, Jason, and our community.
You make it very easy for us. It's the Jason Rant Show.